Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Happy New Year to everybody out there celebrating such things as the calendar moves from the, well, for those of us who love football, as well as the legal profession, from last year to this year, it moves from, regular season to the games that count. Like, so as much as it's not the election that counts, it's the inauguration, Todd Schuller. I would tell you that nothing has mattered for this football team really since last time around against the Tennessee Titans. And for those of us a little older, and I see you got the silver coming in, and I'm working a little bit on the festive spirit. I'm thinking maybe the purple lights, but I haven't had such good luck with that in recent years that I may go ugly this week just to get ready for Tennessee. But this is a delicious matchup, right? Like, for all of us who love football, who love the Ravens, who are going to sit around this weekend and watch it on television no matter what, you know, some thoughts of Eddie George and Steve McNair and Derek Mason and all of that, and Billick in the spear and the banshee and all. This is going to be a fun weekend of all the nonsense going on in our culture right now, politically, COVID, the whole, all of that. This little thing about football makes us feel better on Sunday at 1 o'clock, right?
Well, yeah, a couple of things. I mean, you're absolutely right that, let me strike that. Saturday last year was a Saturday 8 o'clock game, and I could never get properly there for it. You know, there was too much distraction. We were going to go to a neighbor's house and watch it. You said the purple lights. I hung my purple lights, my floodlights, you know, were all in
purple. Don't forget now, you had a weekend off in the middle.
Had the weekend off.
You just watched television, right? Like, this, I went this down to Florida last year, right? I mean, I'm planning parties, and we're all going to West Palm, and right? I mean, that's where we were. This year, we're playing on the road in Tennessee instead, right?
And it's right there. It's Sunday, 1 o'clock, like a good old-fashioned football game. There's not going to be any distractions. The fireplace is going to be lit. It's going to be just me and the TV, and my Cleveland Browns fans, son, and wife are going to have to wait till 8 o'clock on Sunday. They got to do Sunday at 8 o'clock, and then they got the Buckeyes Monday at 8 o'clock.
Did you see that post I tagged you in on? Somebody else in my life has a Ravens-Browns mixed marriage. Did you see that?
I don't know that I did.
I tagged you out on Facebook. I'm going to find it. A friend of mine put a picture up, and I said, this is right after, you know, Todd Schuller's heart, because, like, the Browns and the Ravens as a marriage, that's really weird.
You know, being around my Cleveland Browns brother-in-law, I've been rooting for him a little bit, but not at our expense. And, you know, it's been, frankly, an embarrassment.
Dude, I'll be honest with you. I was pulling for the Steelers.
Were you?
Yeah, I've had enough of the Browns. Enough. I mean, I don't even want them to lose in the play. I just don't want them to make the play. The world's better when the Browns don't make the playoffs for me.
Well, when they were losing to the Jets, I was rooting against them the whole time. I mean, we needed them to lose. And the second Pittsburgh beat the Colts, there was still 2 minutes left in the Browns game, I started rooting for the Browns again. I'm like, I hope. Again, we've had an embarrassment of riches. How many times have we made the playoffs since the Ravens?
Don't be nice to your wife because she's watching. Look, I don't want Baker. I don't ever want the possibility of Baker Mayfield eliminating the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs. So the only way that could happen is if Baker Mayfield's in the playoffs. So
it's true.
And he's in the playoffs. And
they got a good draw. I mean, you'd play the Steelers, right? We'd be touchdown favorites in Pittsburgh. They should be favored in Pittsburgh. I don't think they are, though.
They're not.
Field goal dogs. But I think they go into Pittsburgh and win, right?
Come on. You're being nice to your wife now. You're being very, very disrespectful to Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin. I mean, and
I don't mind being that. I don't mind.
I have been disrespectful to Mike personally. You know what I mean? Mike knows. But I just, I'm not going to talk like that.
He came on the field.
Like, just going into Pittsburgh would be better than going to Tennessee. I'll take Tennessee. I'll take my chances to get down there. By the way, I don't want to turn this thing too much on the political scope, but I'm not going. I mean, not that I can turn this to the political scope. I mean, dude's planning a coup this week, right? So, but I'll say this. The Nashville trip for me has always been one of my favorites. It's always been this incredible thing. I mean, going back to Eddie George and the parties we've thrown down there. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Graham Central station party we had back in 2009, the playoff game. We put like 3,000 people in a bar down there. That's where the bomb went off, dude. So, like, yeah. I've walked up and down Second Avenue 500 times in my life. I mean, when Trotz was coaching the Predators, and I think Trotz is going to come on this week and talk about Nashville a little bit with me, because I have such a love of Nashville. And dude, we had a terrorist go into downtown Nashville and blow the city up on Christmas morning. And like, we play football there on Sunday. And part of me is avoiding it because like, it's a hot spot. You know what I mean? It's a 1 o'clock game. No, I have a flight to Kansas City next week. Like, I'm fully thinking I'm going to go to Kansas City if they win. So if they lose this week, I don't want to be there. I have no access to play. I don't know why I would want to be in Nashville. It's a really good seat in the press box. I mean, it's a good seat to watch the game. But I'm just going to skip it this week. And part of it is COVID. Part of it is Marsha effing Blackburn. Part of it is the bomb that went off in front of the place that I had my party with 3,000 people. And part of it is just sort of, it's a different kind of year. I'm just going to take this week off one more week, and I'm going to try to rev up for Kansas City and then maybe Buffalo or Pittsburgh, wherever it would be. But I think this is the last week I'm taking off. I'm going to go on the rest of the ride. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Picking up slightly just on the Tennessee thing. I mean, you're right about the Steve McNair and the Eddie George. It could have gone a different way. And it really, I kind of wanted it to. When they divided into the 14 divisions, I thought we should have been like the AFC New with Indianapolis, or throw Indianapolis in where we are now with the Steelers and the Browns.
So hold on. Who
give
goes
us
then?
Houston, Tennessee, who we at that point had a fantastic
rivalry.
So you
want to say Jacksonville?
No, we'd have been all the new teams, right? Ravens, Titans, Texans,
so you would have said the Colts
Jacksonville to, and give the Colts, yeah, the North, where they are naturally, I mean, geographically.
Yeah, the Colts were Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh. Like, that becomes more like a Detroit, Chicago, great. Yeah, I mean,
it could have gone that way, and it wouldn't have been bad if it did, because
Modell didn't want to leave the Steelers. As I remember it, you know, I have art over here. Art goes everywhere I go, you know. By the way, I found a picture. Can I have some fun with you?
Yeah.
Let's roll. Because, like, I've gone through pictures here. I'm going to pull this up, right? So I'm wearing my sweatpants today because I wear my sweatpants every day. Check this out, dude. Do you know where this picture's from? Do you have any?
I can see at Coach Billick.
Yeah.
And that's David Modell in the front?
That's David Modell in the front with the Baltimore County's finest.
Okay.
And this is out in front of Owings Mills, where when they got back, when the bus got back on Monday morning after we won the Super Bowl, David carried this. You can see the facility up here.
Right.
You know, that's Stevenson College now, right? And I found a stack of pictures from this era that fans made for me and gave to me about the first time, you know? And to think that this was like, it's 20 years next week, 20 years
right,
since we went down to Nashville and won that game, and Eddie George and
locked field goal was in there, right? Was there Al Del Greco? Was he the kicker?
Al Del Greco, absolutely.
I think there was a blocked field goal, right? Or
Anthony Mitchell.
One?
Anthony Mitchell ran back the field goal, right?
Right.
We're going to relive all of that this week. But there's just something about Baltimore and Tennessee that's been better than two teams that aren't in the same division.
It really has been a great. And if you'll remember too, like after Ray Lewis ripped Eddie George's soul away with the ball on the fumble scrape, Eddie George came in back into Baltimore the following year and got his revenge. I think they beat us here in the playoffs in the subsequent year, maybe the year after the Super Bowl year. Or 2 years after.
They beat us in 2005 here. Yes.
In 2005. Yeah. So, it hasn't been one-sided.
It was 03, my bad. 03, it was the Anthony Wright game, and it was Zeus jumped and moved a field goal 15 yards closer, and we lost.
I remember. I was down at Federal Hill for that game. I might have been at the game, and then I ended up watching. I know I watched I think I tailgated and couldn't get in, and then came back to Federal Hill and watched a game. But
I had the indignity of attending the opening night of the Rush Tour in Antioch, Tennessee, which is where that maniac white nationalist freak was from, suicide bomber. And I saw they had a shed there, and I went to see Rush with Jimmy Schwartz. Jimmy was the defensive coordinator of the Titans in 03, and he picked me up at the airport. And we were going to go to the show. We were going to stop by his house. He's like, I got to stop by the office. He's like, you'll love it. It's the old Oilers headquarters. You know, we have Oilers stuff. Yeah, let me show you around my office. And he took me into his office, and he locked the door, and he made me watch the tape of us losing for 3 hours. I'm not kidding. He conveniently locked me, and I give much love to Jimmy on his retirement from Philadelphia, even though they didn't show up and play on Sunday night. But Jimmy forced me to rewatch every play of how he trapped Anthony Wright and Jamal Lewis and beat us. So there you have it.
So great. And then, of course, last year continues the rivalry on, right? Because 14-2 with the bye. I mean,
we better tackle Derrick Henry at 1 o'clock Sunday, right?
2,000 yards in one season. I mean, how many times has that happened? 7 or 8 times tops, right? OJ did it.
Dickerson. Yeah, absolutely.
The guy out in the Broncos.
Terrell Davis. He's a Hall of Famer, by the way. A guy out in Denver. Hall of Famer out in Denver.
Hall of Famer. Yes. Hall of Famer Terrell Davis. Did the salute, the touchdowns, right?
Absolutely.
But, yeah. So, I mean, he's a beast. I wonder if they have, I don't know. I'm feeling good. I feel kind of loaded. I feel like they're not going to stop Lamar. I think it's going to be one of those.
I think we're going to win this week.
It's going to be touchdowns with every drive, it feels like.
I'll be shocked if we lose, and not just because we're favorites. I mean, I think Vegas sees it the same way. I think the Ravens are trending in the right direction. Now, what's going to happen in Kansas City or Buffalo or, you know, COVID for crying out loud? I said, this would be a good game. If Derrick Henry comes down with a cough on Friday, I'd be okay with that. Todd Schuller is here. Blondell Miller Schuller. They're a damn good lawyer out on the web. And you know, I got to thinking about you and my lifelong friend, Mark Miller, your partner, who managed to avoid me the whole year of 2020. I mean, 2021, I'm not going to let him get away with this. At some point, I'm going to have him come on. We're going to tell some old stories. But I was driving around with my wife. People drive like since this plague started. I have legitimately seen, it's been rare when I've been on the Beltway where somebody's not doing 80 miles an hour. And I saw all these cars out. Like I was driving around during Christmas week and I'm thinking, where the hell are all these people going? And I remember back in the beginning and you're full on about what you do for a living. Auto accidents happen, right? And when they happen, that you need somebody like you. People do the craziest stuff driving around, dude. Like, I now know how you and Mark make a living doing this at Blondell Miller. I do, really.
It's been a pretty rough year out there. Yeah, you're right. I think the plague, like you said, the COVID has kind of loosened the rules around everything, or at
do
least
they
how
give
people
tickets
govern
anymore?
Themselves.
Like, I'm wondering, can you even get pulled over for driving like a maniac? This used to be something to me that I saw in South Florida. And in Italy and in, you know, Buenos Aires and other places. But like it was something where I thought, yeah, people usually stay in their lanes here. That's gone away the last year, bro. I mean, legitimately.
And the traffic's starting to thicken up, like you said, too. So it was sort of born out of, like you said, the absence of tickets and nobody else on the road and people are driving around like idiots. But now they're starting to clump together a little bit more. There's starting to be a little more traffic in there, and people are going to bounce off each other a little bit. That's for sure.
Is there a statistic for accidents and like in your line of work and what you do? Because tell everybody what you do. First of all, I mean, you're our pals. You're in Essex. You're damngoodlawyer.com. But if you get in an auto accident, I want to make sure people know, like, hey, give Mark and Todd a call and they'll represent you, because my wife and I were driving around on Saturday, and I'm legitimately, dude, we're just driving up to Towson to the radio station. We went over to State Fair and had a bowl of, you know, grits and delicious chicken and waffles over at State Fair in Gainesville. And then we went over to Essex and grabbed the pizza. We stopped at my son's house, dropped off pizza. We encountered 8 death-defying moves of people just on the outer loop of the Beltway. And I'm like, oh my God, like, I would think at some point your phone's got to be ringing because people got to be having accidents, man.
Well, there's 2 things to think about there. One is the insurance company has an entire team of people that are there to deprive you of the money that you're entitled to if you've been in a car crash. And that starts with the claims adjuster, who's going to call you and get a statement and take your words as well as they can and use them against you and the like, and a lawyer if necessary on the other side to defend against you. So they've got that system in place, and absent a lawyer, you don't have somebody who can fight for your rights. Also, it's a free consultation, and that's what I think people get intimidated. I don't want to call a lawyer because they're going to, you know, the hourglass is going to turn over and all of a sudden I'm going to be in the whole $300 before I even had a conversation or knew if I had a case. It's not the case. It's a free consultation. You can call us, you can reach out to us on the web or through the website on our email, And we'll let you know if you have a case, and we'll let you know what your case is worth. And we do it all for free. We get our money on the back end. We get, you know, paid if you recover. But I doubt very much that anybody has ever done better off not having a lawyer, and trying to handle it on their own. And people do. People work with it for a year, and they think they're going to get a good deal because the claims adjuster seems really nice. And the next thing they know, they're calling us a year later, and you know, we're a year behind the ball of we could have had the thing moved down the field a little bit further.
Well, Damn Good Lawyer is there for you, damgoodlawyer.com. Just stop by, honk the horn. You're on Eastern Avenue in Essex, as you do. I like the scoreboard you have out in front, very sporty, you know, out in front of Avenue. For you and where we are this week with government, and this is what you've dedicated your life to doing. I mean, you were a former delegate, you ran for office, you have told me fabled stories, and anyone can go out, they probably can get a beer with you at some point. You love to tell them how you sat out there and counted every vote and how legitimate the American voting system is. I want you to stand up as someone that dedicated at one point your whole life to running for office and making sure that the friggin' thing is on the up and up. In the same way we want a Ravens game to be on the up and up, you know, that the Giants fans wanted the Eagles to try hard on Sunday night, we would love to believe that at the heart of everything we have in this country, that our elections are fair. That's one of the things that sets us aside from what goes on in Russia and what goes on in the Philippines and what goes on in these crooked-ass places, even some of them I've been, like Cuba and China, right?
We send election observers to other countries and teach them how to conduct elections. I mean, that's how good we are, or we should be. And I do have insight. I've in my own race.
So what this allegation is, it's insidious. It's horrific. It's baseless.
The phone call is criminal. The phone call to the Secretary of State is criminal action. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, it's just a crime. And the fact that it wasn't Trump calling from his cell phone, in the secret, the fact that the chief
brazen,
of staff,
brazen
the
would
chief
be the word,
of staff's
right?
on the call, there's yeah. I mean,
Todd, can you imagine calling Annapolis when you legitimately had an election? It was decided by how many votes?
My first election was decided by 85 votes.
You and won by 85, and then
I
you
went
lost
down
by
for a week.
How many?
I lost by about 300 when I ran for county council. It wasn't one that we, you know, went and watched the absentee ballots come in. But I watched the absentee ballots come in 2006 when I won, because I won by 85 votes. And I went down, my man Johnny O, county executive, won by 9 votes. And I went and I watched everybody carefully and meticulously count envelopes.
Todd, can you imagine signatures. If there's a tape of you calling Annapolis? And look, I almost ran for mayor last year,
jail.
Right? Like I almost ran for mayor last year, and I walked, and I still have the forms. I literally found them when I found David Modell. I cannot imagine if there was a tape of my voice calling the election officials in Annapolis or over on Baltimore Street and intimidating them and telling them bad things are going to happen if I don't win this election. Can you?
He used the words, this the actual quote, "You're taking an awful risk here." What are you suggesting to the Secretary of State that he's taking a risk by not finding 12,000 extra votes for you? It's despicable. It's disgraceful, and we've got 2 more weeks of it, and it's probably only going to get worse. And I don't think he sticks around. I think he fades. I think he wants to play golf and get out of the limelight and duck prosecutors. But so I am hopeful. You've seen the Republican officials stand up to the craziest. Not all of them, mind you. I mean, there's going to be how many of them, you know, contest the results of the Electoral College, which is another insane thing going on right now. But you're seeing backbone from guys like the Secretary of State of Georgia, which I wonder what happens if it wasn't 5 states. What if it was only Georgia?
What
if Georgia
pushed you over the top? What happens to every Vindman? What happens to every, Preet Bharara? What happens to every, you know, however you feel about Comey, right? That all of these people have the same story. I was told to do illicit stuff or else. And then in the case of all of these creeps, these effing criminals like Roger Stone and Manafort, who've been pardoned.
Michael
and now he's giving congressional medals of honor, pardoning Blackwater murderers. Like, what are we doing in this country? Like, it's nice that I have this purple opiate at 1 o'clock on Sunday, but the Giants fans don't have that this week. I hope they're a little up in arms about this. I really do. You know, like, this is a lot bigger than Lamar Jackson, and it needs to be spoken about in a real grown-up way. By the way, we're going to be talking to several county executives this month on Baltimore Positive. I'm not sure Johnny O is lined up. I think he's lined up later in the month. But this week, Calvin Ball is going to be joining us, as well as Stuart Pittman later on in the week. Speaker of the House, Adrian Jones, will be with us later on in the week. And I know Mueller's putting together a whole, like, Venatoulis, Hutchinson, Jim Smith thing that he's doing. So, county – but I'm out of my mind watching football on Sunday when this New York Times story leaks, because this isn't a little thing. This isn't a Twitter thing. This is a fundamental American election issue here, where we have a mafia leader speaking about elections in this way. This is serious. And I know how seriously you take this, Todd.
Well, what the problem is that it's not overly shocking, you know. Like, I mean, if this was a standalone thing, if this was the one thing from the Trump presidency that was beyond disgraceful, then I think it would be a major story. I honestly think people are just, myself included, we're kind of like huddled up like this, trying to get to January 20th. You know, like, you know, it'll go away, but it is a fundamental challenge to American democracy. It's disgraceful. It's criminal. I couldn't agree more. It's just not shocking for whatever reason, because the Colonel Vindman call is not shocking because of everything else that has gone on. It's expected that he behaved that way and that his circle around him behaves that way. And but for low level elected officials like the Georgia Secretary of State, we could have had a coup. I mean, who's
getting death threats, by the way, right?
Who's getting, oh man, vote counters and all kinds of the people that work in the election systems, and like everybody that is not all in on the conspiracy is getting death threats, and they're turning out to be paper threats, right? The Proud Boy rally is going to be a bunch of hillbillies getting arrested. But the reality is immense pressure has been put on people like the Michigan Speaker of the House and the Michigan President of the Senate and the Pennsylvania Speaker. Crazy stuff.
By the way, Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania is cool.
He seems like a pretty wild dude, although probably he's a Pittsburgh guy, right? He's a Steelers fan, I think. He could be an Eagles fan. He trolls,
you know,
the Cowboys.
This week, if he's a Steelers
enough.
Fan, I'm okay with that, because I've decided I like the Browns less. I mean, it's a crazy place I've gotten to, where I'm going to be cheering for the Steelers on Sunday night, no matter what happens to us. I mean, I hope we win, but I'm done with the Browns, and we haven't even started with them. What have they ever done to us?
I fear the day. Like, what happens when the tables turn and they're better than us for?
Well,
two
that's
decades?
What I don't want to have happen. We've already got that problem with the Steelers. I figured that I've come to terms with that. I even came to terms with Peyton Manning, right? You know, I mean, I even buried the hatchet with all of that, but that doesn't mean I'm rooting
for the
Bills.
Jacoby Jones buried that hatchet.
Yeah, absolutely. Todd Schuller is here, damngoodlawyer.com. They're Blondell Miller Schuller. You can find them down on Eastern Avenue in Essex. Find them at damngoodlawyer.com. Liars is what they don't put up with. Lawyers is what they do. Hey man, I appreciate you. I know our time's short. You feel like we're going to be still talking football this time next week? I think we're going to have a good news final.
I think we are. And I think if you'll remember, we were back in June wondering whether we were ever going to complete a football season, whether they were going to crown a champion. Now we're talking about Lamar getting his chance at revenge against Tennessee. And I love it. And I do. I feel like we're going to be talking it another week or maybe more.
It's a good week to pull this picture out. Talk about redemption. You know,
it's a beautiful thing.
All right, dude. Take care of yourself. Towel off. We'll get back together again next week. And hopefully we're talking about – going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. All right, there he goes. Todd Schuller. Blondell, Miller, Schuller. You can find them. You can find him at, right out in the front of Baltimore Positive. All of our WNST partners and local folks, our friends at Planet Fitness and Royal Farms, our friends at Sporticulture, certainly our friends at the Liberty Pour. I'm wearing the hat right now for Doug Workman. I'm trying to track down Matt Stover this week. He's probably on the end of some cliff out in Montana someplace, but I will grab him. Some of the stars of Tennessee's games past. I've reached out to Jamal Lewis in the Samari Roll this week. I will track down Anthony Mitchell before it's all over with this week. So we're going to stay calm around here this week, get through it. It is Festivus for the rest of us. I am Nestor. We are WNSC.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore Positive.